you know, we have fellowship one with another because we have fellowship with the Father. That is the only way to live. Darkness comes because people's deeds are evil. They want to hide. They do things secretly. They do things behind closed doors. Jesus said, I never did anything in secret. I was open. And that's what a church should be, an open church. I'll say what I think. No one's left in any doubt. I'm always clear. In the school, I'm clear. There's things I will accept. There's things that are not acceptable. And the Church of Jesus Christ has standards and values. And those values are clear. You can't come and say, well, I've got my own opinion. I'm sorry. Your opinion isn't worth a tin whistle. There's the Word of God. And the Word of God is the touchstone of truth. There is no other way. I see churches where they bring people in. I want to tell you what has to happen. There must be a true conversion. You must be born again. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost. You must come into life. And you must be birthed into the family of God. And then you have fellowship with the Father and with His Son Jesus. And because of that, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If your birth doesn't bring you into that, you've had no birth at all. You're not a Christian. Is that plain? Hello? That's what the conference has been about. I want to just go on. Take your Bible. Hey. We want to baptize people. There's over 20 people need to get baptized. The Bible says this, repent, believe, and be baptized, every one of you. That means not a pagan custom of sprinkling water on a head and christening. That is not baptism. Baptism is for a believer who's come to a true knowledge of Jesus Christ, comes to be baptized. When you're born into the body of Christ, you're born clean. You're not born with some devil inside. I meet people who go and they say, you know, you hear preachers and they get up and preach that, when you come out of sin and you come out of the world, you're like Lazarus. You need someone to come and take the grave clothes off. Let me tell you something. Lazarus died again. Our example isn't Lazarus, who was raised from the dead to die again. Our example is Jesus Christ. He folded up his own grave clothes. Don't you ever get the stupid idea that you come out semi-bound. You come out free. You come out alive. You come out in God, and you come out totally liberated. I've heard people say, oh, you know, you need, after you get born again, you need to get sanctified. Sanctified means set apart. If you're truly born again, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, you are sanctified because Christ is our sanctification. It's not a process, it's a person. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Wonderful. The truth is, sanctification's instantaneous with birth. We're born free. We're not born bound. We're set free. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of liberation. Instantaneous transformation and liberation. And if you haven't had that, you haven't had anything. Is that plain? Hello? Don't want you to misunderstand me. I'll say it again. Don't ever think a man is a Christian if he claims he's born again and he's got all sorts of problems in his life. He hasn't had a birth. My God sets me free, brings me into life. You must be born again, born of water and the Spirit. My Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things become new, and all things are of God. They always leave that out. They don't like to say, hey, we can be like Paul and confess, I live, nevertheless not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen? His faith, his life, his power, his glory, his liberty. Christ isn't bound, nor are we. Isn't that simple? Is that simple?
Yes.
I'll tell you what happens. People get angry because their experience gets challenged. I want to challenge anyone who doesn't live the right way, who hasn't had the right thing, because I know this. In eternity, you're responsible. I'm responsible to preach. You're responsible to respond. I don't want anyone to say in that day that I made it so complicated they didn't understand. I want everyone to say in that day, I got in your face till the moment your last breath was breathed. I'm there. You know, a preacher's there to preach, teach, heal. But he's also there to get people to realize, wake up. Hey, if you're wrong, it's time to get right. Not time, oh, well, you know, I just feel I made a mistake. You know, you've got to change. And that's the glorious thing we've been looking at. That, you know, he did it all. Salvation's free. If God did it all, hey, he paid the price. Why? I can have everything for nothing. It's a gift. Not what I do, what he did for me 2,000 years ago. I mean, you have to be crazy not to respond. And there's a lot of crazy people in the earth. They want to fast and pray, and they want to get all religious. My God is a good God. He knew that if he left it that way, I wouldn't make it. If it was down to me and what I did, I'd be in trouble. And so would you. Thank God it's God who did it all. He made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, we looked at last night. Rebellion is dealt with. Why? All my rebellion and your rebellion was laid on him. I can be totally free. And today I want to look at another aspect. It is so, so important that we understand that music, emotion, so-called worship, which is singing and dancing, won't bring you into God. I rejoice with all those young people. But I know they can get the best grades, they can go to the best universities, they can end up the best students and go to hell. My Bible makes it quite clear. If, said Jesus, you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the problem is, people, when they get an experience of God after a time, don't like to obey God. And then they don't continue in the word. And then they get resentful and guilty. And then they begin to hate God and turn against God and get angry at God for their own rebellion. And they blame God for it. I don't know why it's happened to me. I'll tell you why it happened to you. God said and you didn't. And your liberty went. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Discipleship demands continuance in the obeying of God's word in every area of your life. It's not an option. God says that's the only way you can walk into freedom. The spirit that rebels against God, and the spirit that rebels against life circumstances, and the spirit that lusts after its own way. As we looked in Isaiah 53 last night, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every man to his own way. And it's going your own way that brings death. It's going your own way that brings disaster. It's going your own way that will destroy your life. I've got to walk his way. Continue in his word. Then I'll be his disciple indeed. Not just in word or in action. Coming to church doesn't make you a disciple. Belonging to a church doesn't make you a disciple. Obedience makes you a disciple. And then he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Knowledge of truth is impossible for a person who ceases to walk according to the word of God. They're out. And most of them go out for all eternity. They never get back. They're gone. Taken in the snare of the enemy. I'm surprised how cheap the gospel has become. I'm surprised how many get caught up with social work, social gospel, and don't understand it's nothing to do with Christ. It's not the gospel. Our gospel is to preach, to teach, to heal. Our gospel is not to do social work. That isn't part of the gospel. We're here to proclaim Christ, to lift him up, to let everyone know there's a Savior who will deliver, who will heal. A mighty God who gave his only begotten Son, that we might have life and life more abundantly. We have to be part of a living church. Our whole purpose is to live to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not here to change society. We're here to win the lost, individual by individual. That will change society. We're not here to somehow change the community around us. We're here to be lights set on a hill. And you know, men love darkness rather than light. So if you want them all to love you, you've joined the wrong church. They get envious. They get jealous. They want to knock down what God builds. Of course they do. Devil is there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He doesn't like someone who succeeds. Boy, that's the way it is. Glory to God. You know, my dear friend, the late Dr. Archbishop Benson Edohose, Archbishop Dr. Benson Edohose, he used to say, I'll tell you what he did. He used to say to me, Dr. Reed, live long enough to prove your enemies wrong. And all you have to do is live. And if you live long enough, you'll prove your enemies wrong. That's all. We go on from glory to glory and from strength to strength. And every year that passes, we see God being faithful. And I think that's wonderful, don't you? Amen. You know, I look at those kids who came and I think, hey, Lord, you've been so faithful to them. You know, let's give God the praise. It's Him who did it. Don't ever think it's anyone else. I want to lift Him up. I want you to know our God is a good God. I thank God for each one. Hey, I know this. They'll go out into the world. They'll be world changers and world leaders. Why? Because a seed has been put in their heart that's going to bear fruit. That which we've seen, that which we've heard, that which our hands have handled of the word of life, we declare it unto you. I don't find many people in the world who've really seen. I don't find that many people in the world who've looked up into the face of Jesus and looked at those eyes that are flames of fire and have looked into His face and seen His glory. You know, His hair is white, white as snow. Those eyes burn. Strange. That's why the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize Him. They didn't recognize who He was. Once His hair was black as raven, but when He became sin who knew no sin, when He went to Calvary, the glory of God the Father filled Him in the tomb and He rose up from the dead. The wounds were in His hands and His side. And His hair, white as snow. His eyes, eyes of love, compassion. And you ask people, have you seen Him? Do you know Him? Do you understand Him? It's not a mystical experience. It's just knowing the book and a revelation, and then suddenly God opens up heaven to you and you begin to see. I don't find many people who've been there, many people who know, but thank God for those that do, those that have heard His voice, those that know Him. That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. With that comes suffering. With that comes all the persecutions. You know, people don't understand. I often think of the day Jesus was sitting at the Last Supper and the disciples were there and they didn't understand when He broke the bread and gave them the wine. He said, "This is my body which will be broken for you." They didn't understand. When He poured out the wine and gave it to them and said, "Drink. This is my blood of the new covenant." They didn't understand He was going to pour out His life unto death. To bring us into a new relationship with Him. one that no one else could enter in but by birth. And that relationship and that covenant was going to mean that we could say with the Apostle John, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It's all to do with fellowship. You know, a son of God, he just knows his Father. I listen to people's prayers, and it worries me when some people pray and they get all tense and all anxious. Oh, God! And you think, you don't know. Why? If you had fellowship with a father, you could never speak to him like that. When Jesus came to the tomb, Lazarus had been there 4 days, and he looked and he just said, Father. He said, I don't pray for my sake, just for those sakes of those that are around, you know. And then he just said, Lazarus, come out. That was his prayer. What a God. What a Jesus. He made everything easy. Man wants to make it all religious and complicated, you know, and get all intense and shout. And hey, we have fellowship with the Father. When you have fellowship with the Father, you know his will, and you just start communion with him. And prayer is a delight. It's just a fellowship. And you know his Son, Jesus Christ. And you have fellowship with other people because you're just in fellowship with him. And those that don't walk with him and continue in his word, well, they just fall out the boat. It's not Jesus summoning them. It's a ghost. They drown in sin and sorrow. But Jesus brings life, and life more abundant. That is the wonder. John, when he's writing, he says, hey, come on, you children, you need to know. We've overcome the wicked one. Come on, you young men. What's wrong with you? You walked in victory. Come on, you fathers. You know who we have fellowship with. You'll find it all in the Epistle of John. It's just so simple. That's the glory of what we have. That's the wonder of it. That's why you can look at anyone and you can say, I know in whom I have believed. I know neither life nor death, things present nor things to come, can separate me from the love of God. Why? God's my Father. I'm in the family. I belong to him. He'll always look after me. I'm his son. Doesn't matter what I face, I belong to him. He owns me. He's wonderful. And that takes away the stress of life. Other people strain at gnats and swallow camels. Enough to make you choke. Me? Why? I know him. It's all about knowing him. I stand redeemed not because of anything I've done, because what he did for me. Isn't that wonderful? You know, it's just so wonderful. There's something. I can dance, I can sing, I can shout, because I know my God has done it. When I was younger, I could dance for hours. Now, I'm more modest. There was a time I could shout and jump with the best of them. I still have that same joy. There comes a time when you can shut yourself in your innermost being. And in the midst of the turmoil of life, you just commune with him because he's everything to you. And that's Christianity. And if you haven't got that, you haven't got anything really. I want to just talk about knowing God. Finish off everything with a knowing of him. You see, I find it so hard to explain. How do you tell someone about something that's... You know, how do you explain the inexplainable? How do you somehow... You know, let me take an example. When a person falls in love, what is it that makes them fall in love? What is it that actually happens inside that individual that they will spend hours talking about nothing to someone else who will respond talking about nothing? And after 4 hours of talking about nothing, they've enjoyed each other's company over nothing because they're in love. When love takes hold of a person, you can't explain what it is. And when a man or a woman comes into the fellowship with the Father and with the Son, you have something that's inexplicable. You can say, well, it's like this, it's like that. But in the end, it's fellowship. You just belong because you belong. And there's no explanation. The Christian life is not essentially an application of teaching. It is a fellowship, a communion with God himself. Nothing less. It's just the ability to be able to soar into the heavens and just to know the glory of his presence and to be able to commune with him without any stress or strain. I listen to people who say they've got to pray through. What nonsense! There's a fight to get to God. Never! He's my Father. There's opposition. I don't know where it is. He lives in me. Why? When it's like that, it doesn't mean that the enemy won't come to my mind and try and throw things at my mind. But thank God I have a shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart of the wicked one. Boy, they try and make you afraid. They threaten. But I want to tell you, they have no power. Because my God, it's a good God. And faith and the shield of faith quenches every fiery dart. Snuffs it out before it gets to you. What a wonderful life we have. It's called communion with God. And, you know, there's few that find it. You know, to be a Christian does not merely mean that you hold orthodox opinions on Christian teaching. I meet a lot of people who've got all the right opinions. No life. They've never ever met him. They've got a philosophy, Christian philosophy, but no life. There are certain things that are absolutely essential for a Christian to believe, and there can never be any discussion about them. Never any discussion. They're just fact. Fact number one, Jesus Christ is God, both divine and man. There can never be a discussion about it. He was all man, all God. It's not open to discussion. It's not open to declaration. I'll tell you something else that's totally, in this church, is totally and utterly beyond discussion. You know, God created heaven and earth and all that is therein in 6 days created he it. That's it. He could have done it in 6 seconds. He could have done it in 6 years. He chose to do it in 6 days. He saw it was good. That's it. And Adam and Eve were in the garden. And the serpent came and tempted Eve. Now listen, if you do not believe in Adam and Eve, you cannot be a Christian. Because if sin did not enter into the world by one, then redemption could never have come by one, says Paul. You'll find that in Romans. It is totally impossible for a person to be a Christian and deny Adam and Eve and deny sin coming by one. Those things aren't open to discussion. They're not open to debate. Either you're a Christian and you know it to be true, or you're a heathen. That's it. They're essential parts of the gospel. Those things are not open to discussion. Christ quoted from the Old Testament and from Moses' books, Christ himself, who happened to have been there at the time of creation. He's God, a man. And I want to tell you, those things for a Christian are never open to discussion or dispute. If I find a person who wants to argue about creation, I just walk away from them. Why? Because my Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. If someone doesn't want to believe in the God I know, I'm not interested in talking to them. Because one of the conditions of anyone coming to God is they must believe he is. Secondly, they must believe he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If they don't believe that, forget it. It's a waste of time. I don't want to waste my time. I'm not even prepared to open negotiations with anyone to try and dispute over it. Hey, it's fact. Is that plain? Yes. Hello? Yes. Hey, is that plain? Yes. It's not open to discussion. It's not open to debate. It's just true. Jesus Christ bled and died on Calvary's tree. He went there not because of the Jews, not because of Judas Iscariot. He went there according to the predetermination of God the Father. That's what the Bible teaches. You can't blame the Jewish nation. You can't blame the Pharisees and Sadducees for crucifying Christ. I want to tell you, it was in the plan and purpose of God the Father to give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And he became our sin bearer, and it was the plan of God, not the plan of man, not the plan of the devil. It was God who did it. Now that's not open to discussion. That's an essential part of a Christian belief. The third day he rose again from the dead. He didn't swoon and pass out and wasn't really dead. He died. A spear was thrust in his side and out came blood and water. He was dead and buried. The third day, the glory of the Father filled the tomb and filled his being, and he rose alive. And the only reason the stone was rolled away was so that the women that came to the tomb on the first day of the week could find an empty tomb and find the grave clothes folded up. He was well bored up, Jesus. He kept his room tidy. Grave clothes folded up and the napkin separate. Glory to God. Wonderful. And then he appeared to above 500 people. And he was in bodily form. There wasn't some spirit form and his body didn't rise. His body rose. He rose. Physically rose. He said to Thomas, "See, a spirit doesn't eat. A spirit doesn't have form. Feel the wound in my side. Put your hand there. Go on, Thomas. Put your finger in my hand." That was his body. He rose in body. That is not in any way something a man can question if he's a Christian. You cannot be a Christian unless you believe in the resurrection from the dead. And then he ascended into heaven. Glory to God. He went up and the disciples stood and looked up and Jesus ascended into heaven. I believe it. And he sits at the right hand of God the Father and he poured out the Holy Ghost. He presented to God the Father the blood of sacrifice. God the Father said, "That's it. It's dealt with sin." He sits at the right hand of God the Father in the glory. And I want to tell you something. He's both man and God. That's why he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, because the very divinity took on humanity. It's called the incarnation. Now that is not open to dispute. It's not open to doubt. They are facts. The fact, he became sin who knew no sin. The very nature of sin, the very power of sin, the very life of sin, the heart of sin. He became it. And the wrath of God was poured out on him, and he died to it once. Once. It was a perfect, sufficient sacrifice for the sin of the whole world forever. It's not open to dispute. It's not open to discussion. It's what a Christian believes. And so many Christians want to dispute the things that are essential. They want to discuss it. Not open to the discussion. No discussion on it at all. Why should I discuss or dispute anything that's just fact? Glory to God. You know, when children are brought up to learn the facts of life, and I'm talking of these facts, because it's life and life more abundant. I know this. Man doesn't evolve, he degenerates. The only way he ever goes better is when God meets him. The smarter the man gets, the richer a man gets, the worse a man gets. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ has mercy on his soul. unless he becomes a believer. I believe. Hey, you know, there are facts you just can't, as a Christian, you can't argue about. Do I believe in Jonah being swallowed by a large fish? Yes, I do. I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a large fish and he remained in the belly of the fish for 3 days and he was burped up on the shore. I'm sure that the people that saw him were affrighted, because I don't know what the digested juices did to his complexion. I guess it wasn't very pleasant smell either. But when he was burped up on the shore, now it doesn't give me a problem at all to believe it, because the Bible says so. And if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed a whale, I wouldn't have a problem. Why? Because I believe the word of God. You know, I don't have a problem. People have problems. I just don't have those problems. Now, before God saved me and before God filled me with the Holy Spirit, I couldn't believe this book. The day God met me and I met God and I came into fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son, I found it impossible to disbelieve anything. And if you're a Christian, there's no dispute about the word of God. It is his word. It's infallible. It's wonderful. And it's all true. And I live by every word of it. I think it's wonderful. We see that orthodoxy is essential to a Christian, but I want to make the point. You know, you can be totally orthodox. You can hold the right view, subscribe to the right doctrine, even defend the right doctrine, but it doesn't necessarily make you a Christian. It's terrible, but it doesn't. The most important thing is I have fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son. And I live in fellowship with him. That's what makes me a Christian. That I'm part of the body. To believe that your sins are forgiven by the death of Christ is not enough. To be sound on the whole doctrine of justification by faith alone is not enough. The great watchword of the Protestant Reformation is, that is not enough. They realized there were a lot of people that believed everything rightly, but that isn't enough to make you a Christian. Got to go beyond that. The essence of the Christian position, out of the Christian life, is that we can say with the Apostle John, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what makes a person a Christian. When they're part of the family, born into the family, and they know him. That's why the first thing the Holy Spirit does when a man is born again or a woman is born again, the cry, Abba Father. The automatic response of anyone who becomes a Christian is Father. If you don't hear that and you don't know that, I'm sorry. At best, you're an orphan. God doesn't own you. At worst, you're a religious fanatic. There have been people in the church who have been defenders of the faith, and yet on their deathbeds, they've realized things are wrong. When I was a young man, and I think I was 26, I went to preach at one of the earliest conferences of the Fountain Trust. It was at Lee Abbey. No, it wasn't at Lee Abbey. It was at High Lee. Arthur Wallace was there. Michael Harper was there. It was one of the first. And I went there to preach and to share what God had done for me. And I remember at the conference how God met so many people. And then I got a call maybe 2 months later or 3 months later from a Methodist minister who said, "Please, I've heard you. Will you come and see me?" And I remember getting in my car and I drove a long way to this man. He was about 68, 67. My memory serves me right. And I went to his house and I knocked on the door. And this dear old man met me and he said, "You know," he said, "I've been so wanting to talk to you." And his wife went and made a cup of tea and we sat down. And he said, "You know, I spent 36 years in Nigeria as a missionary. I preached everywhere." He said, "I love to preach the gospel." He said, "You know, but I have a problem, young man." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I could never talk about Jesus with an individual. I could never share Jesus like you share Jesus. I didn't know him." And tears began to course down that old man's cheeks. And I began to tell him the story of what Jesus had done. And you know, as the tears coursed down his cheeks, he said, "Please pray for me. I want to receive this Jesus." He'd been all those years a missionary, preaching, a defender of the faith. He believed all the right things, but oh, the one thing he never had, fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son. He knelt on the floor, and I laid hands on that old man, and as the tears coursed down his cheeks, the Lord came and met him. He cried. And I shall never forget, as I left, I saw a man full of joy because at last he knew this Jesus. He knew God was his Father. And in the midst of his joy, the tears kept welling up and flowing down his face. And he said, "What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. All those years I couldn't tell anyone about Jesus. I didn't know him. I wasted my life as a missionary." What a terrible thing that he found it out at the end of his life. That I might know him. Fellowship with him. I can't ever forget that man. I can't ever forget his face. I can't ever forget the sorrow and the joy mingled together. I drove away from that home, and as I drove back to mine, I thought, "Oh God, how many ministers are there who get up and defend your word, who preach as faithfully as they can, but they've forgotten the one thing needful." You know, That which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we've handled are the words of life, declare we unto you, that your joy may be full. That which we've seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you might have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So simple. So simple. Why do people miss it? And you see, once you have fellowship with Father, you belong to the family. And I'll tell you what happens with families. Families that are truly born of God stay together. John writes of some, he said, they went out from us because they were not of us. Doubtless, if they'd been of us, they'd still be with us. Because you see, when you're part of the family, you just can't leave. You know who worships Father, who knows Father, who's in fellowship with Father, and you just know who doesn't belong. They just can't belong by joining a club. This is birth. It's not a truth that someone persuades you. It's not open to discussion. It's life from above. When God comes and quickens your being and his life throbs through every cell in your body and being, and suddenly you know, oh, Father. And you're alive. How do you explain that to someone? How do you get someone to know the difference until the Holy Spirit shows them? Wonderful. Wonderful life. Not many people talk about it because not many people know it. You know, if I'm truly bored into that life, then I share certain things. You'll find it in 2 Peter, 2nd Epistle of Peter. Second Epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Grace, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How does grace and peace get multiplied to you? Through knowledge. Knowledge of God. How do you get knowledge of God? Fellowship. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hey, he's talking to people that have escaped the corruption, not people that are struggling to get out of the corruption. Hello? He's not talking about people who blasphemously say, oh, you've got to fight your old man. He's saying, no, you've escaped it. You're born. You're a son. Glory to God. Not someone who's struggling, my old man, that which I would not, that I do. That's not a Christian. That's a heathen. He's talking to Christians. My, God's done it all. It's over. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partaker of the divine nature. Do you know, you become part of God, God becomes part of you. It comes into you. Your whole being enthused with God. Even your mortal flesh quickened by the power of his Spirit. There's nothing. In Galatians 2:20, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He lives in me. I'm alive. I don't look at things with a political or social eye. I see things as God sees them. Evil becomes a reality. Sin becomes a reality. And there's a new awareness. And I see the powers of evil working in people. I can see where people are going wrong. I can see darkness. I can see light. Why? Because I'm born. God lives in me. We are sharers in God's thoughts and in God's enterprise and in God's whole interest in the life of the world. You know, I care about what God's doing. I'm in fellowship with him and with his son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is with the Father. The Christian's one who knows that God's become his Father. And Romans 8:15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Hey, I've been adopted. My mother's dead. She's gone. She lives because she was a Christian and she's in glory. But she's not amongst us. She's gone. But I'm not an orphan. I was adopted. My father died when I was 8. Just a child. But I want to tell you, when I was 23, God adopted me. And I got a father who was the most wonderful father you could ever have. His name. Why? Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Rapha. Hey, he's everything I need. And his son Jesus, my healer, my deliverer, my savior, my everything. The secret of life. I've been adopted. I once was enslaved, now I'm free. I've escaped the corruption that's in the world through natural desires and my own way. And I've realized that God laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And it's done deal. It happened for me 39 years ago. When did it happen for you? And let me say, it's an objective truth, not subjective. Don't say, "Oh, Bishop, it's all right for you." No, if you haven't had this experience, you're not a Christian. A Christian is a Christ man. A Christ man is adopted by God the Father. There wasn't anyone in the early church who wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost, born of God's Spirit, baptized by one Spirit into one body. That is essential. It's not as something that you say, "Oh, well, that's a deeper life." Don't be a fool. There is no deeper life. How can you go deeper than Jesus? You know, well, it's a second blessing. No, it's an initiation. I'm alive. He lives in me. I'm born again. God's my Father. Glory to God. I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand set free by the power of God. When did that happen to you, my friend? Don't call yourself a Christian if you don't know this. It's the essential part of life. It's not open to discussion. It's not, oh, well, that's not my experience. I've got a different experience. Well, if you have, you've got the wrong experience. This is objective truth. This is something that's not subjective. Something that's it. You're either in or out. Glory to God. I'm not a mystic. For Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God's work, not mine. Glory to God. Hey, I'm a believer. I see so many people getting psyched into false experiences. I see so many people getting told false things. You must be born again, said Jesus. I have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I know I'm a child of God. I know in whom I have believed. That makes me a Christian. I'm baptized by one Spirit into one body. I know he became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I know. I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, nor things present, nor things to come can separate us from the love of God. Why? Why? I'm his son. I was born again. I live. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. As an ambassador, I beseech you, be reconciled to God. Isn't it time you gave up rebellion? Isn't it time you gave up your thoughts for his thoughts? Your way for his way? Isn't it time you realize the gospel of redemption? I mean, all I've said to you is just simple, basic gospel truth. Not some great, deep thing. I'm not digging holes for people. I want you to walk in the sunshine of his face and the light of his glory, knowing he heals the sick, delivers the captive, sets people free. He's wonderful. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You can't get into the family. You're born into it. You must be born again. Amen? Isn't that simple? Let's pray. You know, no one can do what God alone can do. There's no way that you can make a difference. The Bible says that the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord took all the iniquity, laid it on him. It's not what I do, it's what God did. for you and for me. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. God the Father made Jesus to be sin for us, that we might die to sin and become alive to God. It's not what I do, it's what he did. It's objective truth, not something you could change, not something you could make happen, not something that suddenly becomes real. It's just true because God says so. Can you say this morning, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ? I remember the day his Spirit came and the cry rose from the depths of my soul, Father. And I knew I'd received the Spirit of adoption, Spirit of life. I knew I belonged to him. He belonged to me. I was part of his family. What a wonderful conversion. And you know, you can't come any other way. There's no private way to come to God. You've got to come this way. This truth is objective. You know, everyone has to come this way. You have to have the same experience. Don't let anyone tell you we all have different. Not on this. Birth. New birth. It's the same experience for everyone. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can't enter. He can't see the kingdom of God. Everyone has to come this way. If you can't say this is my experience, you haven't come in. It's as plain as that. And it's not something you do, it's something God does and has done for you. Wonderful. Boy, it's so offensive to people who aren't part of the family. They say, well, but the scripture is not for a private interpretation. What God says is true. Can't say, well, I don't believe it for me. Sorry. Jesus said, if you're not born again, you can't enter. You won't even see. But you can believe the truth. You know, this morning, if you'd confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you could have salvation. If you would open your heart and you would admit your need to the living God, this God of glory will bring you in to his family. He's not wanting to shut anyone out. Whomsoever will may come. But you can't come if the Spirit doesn't draw. Inside of you this morning, you know whether God's Spirit has spoken to you. It's not something of your intellect, it's something deep inside. You just know it's there. Hey, it's what I need. I need this life. I need this power, this grace. I need him. It's wonderful. our fellowships with the Father and with his Son Jesus. Maybe you say, if only I knew. Well, you can know. He's not far off, the word's nigh you. It's in your heart and in your mouth. That's the word of faith I preach. He's not a long way away. He's here. He loves you. He wants to bring you in. It's simple. He's not against you, he's for you. You know, if you know it's what you need, this morning I want to invite you. Just come down here. Come and join a family. Don't worry about what anyone else thinks. If you know the Holy Ghost inside you says that's what you need, what I want you to do is get up from where you are and walk down here right now. Don't look around at anyone else. Just come. You know that doesn't apply to you. It's time to join the family. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. Time to join the family you should have been in all this time. You just come. No one else's business. If there's fighting and torment inside you, it's time you stop listening to lies and came to light. He's here for you. He really is. Jesus.